Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki E. Taylor, and you're listening to episode 5 with Tim Coker.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Pretty good. It's beautiful, sunny. It's a great day.
Yeah, I walked here. It's lovely. Lovely yeah. Day. I can't wait to get back outside again. Actually, it's gonna be great.
Amazing. I think let's start with a song and then we'll talk about it.
Cool.
You wanna do a song?
Yeah, do you want like an early song, a now song? What do you want?
I want whatever you're feeling in this moment.
Okay. Well, we were talking before we recorded about when I was living in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a song I recorded when I was in Vietnam on like a video series, and I just watched it recently. So I learned it again. And let's hope I don't fuck it up. It's been a long while. It's called Heaven's Child. It's a hard day in the dead of night, walking by my side. I tried to care for Peach's friend, but I couldn't, won't care. And this flower's my dear, singing sad.
With the intent of you singing it?
Yeah. Like I brought the guitar and everything to him, and he wrote the lyrics as I was like coming up with the tune for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never really, like, I think I've done that once or twice, and it's always kind of an interesting experience. Were you like writing like together in the same room kind of thing?
Yeah. And cool. we wrote a bunch of songs together when I was just starting out music in Vietnam, and he wrote the lyrics for a couple songs.
Nice.
Yeah. So then when I think, there's one other one of his that I can remember, but I can't fully remember all the lyrics. There's one part that I forget to do. It's called Country Girl.
That's a beautiful song. What do you remember about that time?
Oh, lots. Just motorbikes and my band that I had down there and people and teaching kids and Bang Da Ka, which if you ever go to Vietnam, you have to have. It's like a fried fish soup, and I've been obsessed with it and can never find it anywhere. And I've been looking everywhere for it for like years.
Yeah, maybe it'll be the next new trend, the next new, like,
gentrification
trend.
I put it open. Anybody opens a Bang Dakar place in, like, Montreal, Ontario area, I will come to you and have that. I am super, super down and obsessed with that food.
Amazing business opportunity brought to you by Tim Cook.
You heard it here.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you're eating soup, you're teaching kids, you're riding motorbikes through mountains, and you're playing this song a lot.
Yeah. That sounds great. One time, my buddy and I, a different buddy of mine, when I was later on in Vietnam, we got some gigs in, what's the name of the city? A mountain city in Vietnam. I can't remember the name of it right now. But we would play at a hotel and a wine bar down there, and the hotel would give us a free room, and they would also get us there for free, but we had to play on the train.
I did that once in, like, on Via Rail.
Yeah.
I imagine the experience was very different.
It was a little different. We ended up drinking with, like, the guys in the kitchen, like, staying up late, but it was a sleeper train. It was great.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever done the Via Rail artist on board?
I have not. I know that you've done it. We've talked about it before, but I've never...
I think you should do it.
I would love to, actually. Maybe... Is it usually during the summer, or is it...
Anytime. Yeah.
I might actually do it next winter.
Mm-hmm. You can do Montreal to Halifax.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I should do that. That'd be great. I should have thought of that with my brother. My brother lives in Halifax. I'm not sure how much longer though, but maybe I could go visit him and play on the train.
Yeah, and when you do, post about it on social media, and then people will just go to places. They'll book their ticket at that time to hear you play.
Oh, yeah, that's totally going to happen.
It'll be a great
trip. All my tens of subscribers. Oh, man.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, of your tens of subscribers, what else do you think they would find on your YouTube channel if you were to play songs from that channel?
From my YouTube channel? I can't remember any of the other ones.
Or from
the
internets
YouTube.
In general.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay.
What do you think a fan's favorite internet-based song of yours would be?
Okay, that's it. This is one that we did it when we played in a band together.
Tim and I were in a band together for a while. It was great.
Yeah, with Miss Prince.
Yeah. Sax player, Nick.
Nick, come back to Montreal.
Come back to us.
Bring your beautiful wife with you and just move here. Nobody wants to be in the States right now. I mean, the States is beautiful, but Trump, man, you guys gotta figure that stuff out. this is a song that I played with my band in Vietnam, and then we did a different rendition of it together. But I also fuck up the guitar on this all the time, so we'll see if I can do it. I'm doing this at the right key for my voice now. She looks like an angel. What do I feel like the devil? She looks like an angel. What do I got? The devil on my mind. What do I got? The devil on my mind. She looks like an angel. I feel like the devil. She looks like an angel. What do I got? The devil on my mind. My mind. My mind. My mind. I gotta know.
Spot for that song.
I like that song a lot too.
Love it. And I find, especially, I think just like all of your songwriting, maybe like with the exception of one or two songs, you write music that when I hear it, I hear huge arrangements. You know, like something about the way that you write music, I can just hear it with like many different instruments, lots of harmonies, and it's so great.
That'd be so much fun. like that's my dream, is to have like a 10-piece band with like horns and like electric guitar and like a mad drummer, and that's a dream.
Build your dream band, like how many people, or like would you have like an orchestra involved?
Well, man, like recording, I would love to, like everyone would love to work with an orchestra. That'd be amazing. And I have to get someone to do the orchestrations for me. I'm not that good of a musician. But just for a band, it would probably be like synth, bass, lead guitar, me on rhythm guitar, drummer with like 5-part harmonies, and then like a horn section, be it like 3-horn minimum, 5-horn, not maximum.
We don't want to put a max.
You know, 3 to 5 horns in general. That'd be pretty dope. Yeah, and I think I said synthetic, but I think synthetic would be cool. And like percussion.
Yeah.
Percussion. Yeah.
When you write music, I know, like, when I write music, I always have percussion in mind. Like,
yeah.
That is what, like, the driving force is.
Rhythm is very important, for sure. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think when building a band, I think the biggest key element for me is like, do I have a good drummer that I can like vibe with?
Oh yeah. I used to play with a drummer called Luca in Vietnam. He lives in Seattle right now, but I love that man. I miss him a lot. My whole band there, I love a lot. Luca, Flo, and Mark, they're all in various parts of the world now, but we had lots of fun together. I miss those guys. If you ever end up listening to this, guys, I miss you a lot. Let's go visit. Congrats on the baby, Luke. Flow, like, it's not born yet, but hope all goes well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Sending out some love.
Yeah, always.
So we went from Vietnam to Montreal. I remember you playing this song when you first landed, or I don't know when you first got to Montreal. I think it was shortly before I met you.
Yeah.
And what was that like, playing a song that like you had kind of written previous in another like part of the world, and then being in Montreal playing this to like basically strangers?
It was fun. Very blunt. I before I came here, I moved to LA. I was living there for a while, so that was a crazy experience, playing like songs I had written in Vietnam now in LA, which is like fucking LA. But I was playing on, like, the streets.
I was
busking.
I always kind of wondered about your LA experience, because that's something that, like, I knew that you were there for a while, but I wasn't sure when in your life you were there.
Yeah, directly after Vietnam, I moved to LA for 6 months. I was seeing a beautiful woman down there.
She's a lawyer.
Yeah. And, like, she's amazing, really loves dogs, and she's a surfer and very cool. But I was living with her and just street performing to get by because I couldn't find work. And after 6 months, I had to leave because my visa was up and I couldn't find work for it. And, you know, it's life.
Uh-huh.
And, the hustle and having to move between LA and Canada, like, for 6 months of the year every year just was too much. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it, so I came back to Canada after a few months, ended up staying here, and moved to Montreal. I'm great.
So... You played a song that, if people were to just find you on the internet, they would know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would be, like, what are your favorite songs that people would not hear on the internet?
That's, like, everything I have written since Vietnam.
How much do you think you've written since Vietnam?
A lot.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Not that much. Probably, like, only, like, 10 or 12 songs.
Not that much, just, like, a set's worth.
Yeah, okay.
Just, like, an album.
Yeah, so we were talking about LA. So I played music with a guy. I always like find some people to play music with wherever I live. I was playing with a guy. His name was not George Harrison. It was something Harrison. I can't think. It was Paul Harrison.
Some sort of Beatles mashup.
Yeah, some sort of Beatles mashup, exactly. But so he was a really good guitar player. He taught me a good couple things in the short time I was there. But he wrote this one guitar part and taught it to me, and I wrote the vocals for it. It's slow, as lots of my songs are. But I think it's beautiful. You've heard this one before. It's the Walk Down. That's definitely the most, like, L.A. near bass.
This song, so it's like the we've done some stuff in the night, and it was sort of a quieter moment.
It's always darkest before the dawn. In city skies, the stars don't shine. They say it's turned sunny skies to the streetlight blue. Electric moonlight blinding eyes set for heaven's view. Plastered to the ground. And it seems to me that it used to be. You're gonna look directly at the sun. But still you drive on by. But you can't help but stop to see what stokes that fire. There's no blood moon tonight, but the sky burns a sea of red. The herring sing the story of a thousand nights that will never end. And it seems to me that it used to be. You couldn't look directly at the sun. Clouds they cover, but the rain never seems to clear. It's always flowing from the hilltops through the streets. It soaks the city in, but blue turns to hazy gray. When the river's running dry, no one cares if the levee breaks. Until those waters flow, and it seems to me that it used to be. Gonna look directly at the sun.
Ending from any time that I've played it with you.
Really?
Yeah. I think playing in a band context changed the way that sounded to me. I really like it.
Thanks.
You're a great songwriter, Tim.
Hey, well, I can't take credit for, like, the guitar on that. That was James. James Harrison. That's what his name was. That's James Harrison. Just took me a second to get through there. I knew it was a J. Yeah. That was his guitar. He was a great guitar player. Shout out to James. If you're out there listening to this ever, you're awesome. I miss you.
Love
nice
James.
Playing with you for that short period of time. It was only a couple months, but you made an influence. Good man.
Now, you mentioned this song was a very L.A. song. What about it makes you feel like it's L.A.?
There's just a couple of lyrics in it are, like, L.A.-based. Like, in L.A., if somebody... Like, if the ambulance is called, the fire department's also always called. So you always hear or see, like, these fire engines going across. So the crash is fresh, but still you're driving by. The red herring's coming. That's, like, the police, the fire department coming for these crashes. Because if it's somebody with a heart attack or anything, the fire department always comes. So you think there's a lot of fires in L.A. because you see these fire trucks going over, but there's, like, very little fires in L.A. Like, the amount of, like, house fires and apartment fires and stuff is quite low there. But you'd have the impression that there's fires everywhere. So, like, the red fire trucks are actually red herrings. Like, you think that they are warning you of something, but it's really nothing. Or it's, like, something much more minor than you think a fire truck would be called for. That's, like, the most L.A. probably part about it. And it has some stuff about, like levees breaking, that's more New Orleans, but like it was a very like United States sort of oriented lyric song.
Yeah, what was it like being a Canadian in the United States?
Poor. it's cool. People in the States are nice. They're just like Canadians, especially in LA. They're very chill. They're liberal. Not that all Canadians are liberal. There's a wide gamut of people everywhere.
Oh yeah, these are two huge countries.
Yeah. But no, it's nice. I really like the States. I really like California as well. But I have no discernible skills besides teaching English. So trying to find a visa for there was tough. So I couldn't get a job anywhere. Nobody would hire me in kitchens or anything like that. Because you don't want to take the risk of getting fined or messed up yourself as a business, which is understandable. But I had fun playing on the streets. Like I was busking on Hollywood Boulevard for like 6 months.
Nice.
When Bowie died, I was there when they had like the big what's it called, like shrine towards him on his Hollywood star.
What did that look like? I have no idea.
It was just like a bunch of flowers and people mourning for like weeks afterwards. People really love Bowie, man. Bowie's amazing. Labyrinth, man. Even before the music, I knew Bowie just from Labyrinth. I love that. He got me into circus stuff with that crystal ball. I was like, how is he doing it? In that scene, Bowie couldn't actually do the crystal stuff, so they had a circus performer behind him with their arms underneath his like armpits, sort of like if you're doing like that improv skit where somebody does stuff in their back, and it was like a circus performer's arms doing all of the crystal stuff behind him. I don't know where I lived. It was like some little documentary thing.
For so long I thought that Bowie was just circusy as well.
Well, he's amazing in so many ways. He doesn't have to do, to do crystal balls.
Yeah, I was. One of these days, I'm gonna learn how to do that. One of these days.
And I still can't do the crystal ball stuff. But fire dancing.
Yeah.
If you're ready to fire dancer, Montreal. If you ever need a fire dancer, let me know.
Yeah, Tim's a great fire dancer. You were. You worked making like doing festivals.
Yeah, I did like some fire dancing at a festival in Vietnam and like helped to set up stuff there. I was one of the first people involved in it, called Quest Festival. It just got shut down this last year, which is sad.
No.
But it had a good run, and everybody involved was amazing. I miss all the... There's so many people I miss. I'm still quite happy. You'd think I'd be a very sad person, and sometimes I am, but for the most part, I'm very grateful to have met so many amazing people in my life. It's been a lovely, lovely experience.
Well, yeah, you've traveled so far, you've done so many things, had so many stories and great times, and a lot of music to commemorate.
Yeah, a lot more to come, too, I hope. We'll see.
What's, give me something newer.
Something newer.
Fresher.
Yeah. No, this one's on my Facebook wall. Yeah. So you can't find it on YouTube, but you can find it there. It's just a little folk tune. And you like my whistling. I played a song for her before we started recording, which I won't play here because I'll fuck it up a lot. I still don't have the lyrics memorized.
Maybe in a future podcast.
Yeah, maybe in a future podcast.
We'll
it's a funny
session
show.
Two with Tim Cook.
But this is my other whistling song. If I found a highway to the stars, if I found a highway to the stars, probably wouldn't get there without picking up some scars. If I found the highway to the stars, if I found the key to make it big, if I found the key to make it big, probably wind up losing it before it could let me in. If I found the key to make it big, if Jesus tried to tell me what to do, if Jesus tried to tell me what to do, probably wouldn't listen, think he was a goddamn fool. If Jesus tried to tell me what to do. Guitar, and then I come up with like a chord structure that I like, or like a finger picking thing. I've been doing finger picking a lot more the past couple years. And then if I find a structure that I like, hopefully lyrics will come to me, or I'll spend, sometimes I'll spend like fucking years writing and rewriting lyrics because I don't like a lot of my lyrics. It takes me a long time to feel comfortable with them. Like that one, I just wrote very quickly and the lyrics came and I liked it and I was like, it's sweet, it's pretty, it's cute. But usually it's guitar first and then lyrics, but occasionally I'll be like walking around and be like, oh, that's amazing. I, like, I have a song, I have the lyrics and the tune figured out, and I just put a guitar part to it. And then it's sort of the opposite, like I'll spend a long time noodling with the guitar to try and get something that works with the lyrics that I have. It starts with one or the other, but I'm not particular, like I don't have a fixed method. How about you?
Yeah, kind of similar, where I find I will often come up with songs while I'm walking. A lot of those songs never get made because I don't have any of the instrumentals figured out, and it's a lot of work to figure that out sometimes. I have a lot of like half-written songs because of that. But I find like just, I think moving around stimulates my brain a lot. And I think walking, you see a lot of things, you're reflecting on a lot of things. It's a great time to like be doing that. Also like in the shower and like, I don't know, anytime when my mind is bored.
Do you find that you write more songs when you're happy or sad? Like,
definitely when I'm sad.
Yeah.
I think there was like one time when I was like, my roommate came home after like the bar times, and I had like just gotten home and was like, I think I had like run out of the bar in a fit of emotion and with just tears streaming down my face and like playing guitar and basically scream crying.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that ever actually turned into but I think that was somewhat typical, and also my roommate barely knew me at that point.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm the same way. Like, when I'm happy, I tend to write less. But when I'm sad, especially if I'm depressed and drinking a lot, like alcohol, mild depression, and a guitar have been responsible for a lot of my music.
Do you find it kind of like frees you from those things, like it gets it out?
It's like therapy.
Yeah.
I've always thought music, and especially writing, is therapy for those who can't afford a therapist.
But a guitar, low fee.
Man, my therapy has made me money over the years. Well, that's questionable. It probably a bit. I don't know how much I put in the strings and guitars and shit.
Yeah, because I think like musicians are being paid roughly the same amount, like dollar amount, now as they were in like the 70s. However, like the way that like the value of money and cost of living and stuff has changed so dramatically that we're making so much less than musicians in the 70s.
Yeah, it is what it is. At least I don't have to play music. People get to listen to my music.
Yeah, it's great therapy.
I save a lot of therapy bills. Well, I do spend a lot of alcohol. See how that evens out.
Do you ever get people coming up to you being like, oh, Tim, your songs are so sad. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. No, like, not all the time, but I'll play you, like, the most depressing song I ever wrote, which you know as well. It's called Shoot 'Em Down.
let's lead it. Let's talk about that first, and then you'll play us out with that song.
Play us out? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I won't play like one more song after this because I haven't gotten to my alternate tuning stuff at all. This is all standard tuning. Or maybe I'll have to come back another time.
Yeah, I think we'll have to come back. We'll have to have at least one more session.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll close with this one. Oh, it's such a depressing song to close on.
Good.
But yeah, we're talking about Vietnam and motorbikes and stuff. And I was like head over heels for a girl there. And totally, well, separate but important later on. But I was coming back from a trip in the mountains, and I bailed on my bike bad. Like, I was going down the mountain, and the road was washed out.
Was it as bad as the time that you fell off your bike in Montreal and checked your tooth?
Not as bad financially, but worse in terms of I was bedridden for, like, a week after. but, like, my entire right side of my body was, like, major road rash. And I was like in bed for maybe it wasn't a whole week, but like for a good part of a week. I couldn't teach, I couldn't do anything for a good few days. And at that same time, I got broken up with from a beautiful woman who I was very much into.
Oh no!
Yeah. It
seems like a very
life,
broken.
But yeah, it's the thing. I was very broken. I was broken in a lot of ways. And afterwards, I was over at my buddy's house, and like, not the exact same as this, because I was very drunk, and we were playing around, and I played this one guitar like this. But I think it's more like at the time, and then I've made it a bit more dramatic over the years. But I was doing it like an upside down guitar because I'm left handed and you only had a right handed guitar. And I came up with like the basic premise for this and I really liked it, but I kept on working with the lyrics. You'll hear the lyrics. Maybe if I pronounce them well, I sometimes mumble. But yeah, I'll also probably try and do this one in character. It works better if I do it in character. But I was quite drunk when I made it, and then I was playing it with my singing partner at the time, and I remember she was like, "Are you okay?" She stopped me and was like, "Are you doing all right, Tim? Because this song sounds kind of suicide-y." And I was like, no, I'm good. I think I'm all right. Just let me have another shot of bourbon and then we'll keep on playing music. I'll be fine. But it was good. I got over it eventually.
Yeah, I mean, life goes on.
You know, after months of being a melodramatic fool, me be melodramatic, never, always. I can't help it, you know? I'm a melodramatic man. That sounds like a song right there, melodramatic man.
At least an album.
Actually, that would be a great album name for my album, Melodramatic Man.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it too.
You heard it here first. But this song is called Shootin' Down. I should play it. I'm gonna get into character. It's gonna be a little...
Drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
Late night.
Yeah.
Physically broken, emotionally broken.
Scene.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming in for this. We're definitely having another session, maybe a few.
Woo!
All right, Tim Coker, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
That's it for this week's episode on Unknown Artists. Tune in next week for my interview with Clarelle.